So, in flowers, there is so much of design, and this design corresponds to psychological aspects which are to be born later on. The human beings came onto this world much later, and these human beings manifest those levels of consciousness which are already pre-designed, you might say, in the form of these flowers. Also, when we see, if you go deeper, you can find that every flower, if you really keep company of flowers, they constantly give you psychological help. They not only give the fragrance or the presence of beauty, but by keeping those flowers with you, you get a certain kind of special capacity. Like tapasya, for example, Shiva's flower, if you keep constantly with you, the power of tapasya will increase in you. It's a fact, if you keep even the smell of it, is a smell of tapasya. It induces tapasya in your consciousness. I don't know the names of these flowers, but if you see the flowers which are normally offered to Shiva,
Champa
is a flower, mother has called it psychological perfection. Champa flower has got these four petals. Psychological perfection. Must be. I don't know the name, the biological name or whatever name.
It's a white color.
Yes. But those flowers, if you really smell them, if you smell them, you will find that the very smell is of tapasya. It induces tapasya in you. It is quite different from a rose.
But you can keep any flower, uncle, for that purpose.
You can, but I'm saying that the rose in India, we have specially designed that for Shiva, you will specially offer that flower.
No, that's okay, but for your tapasya, roses will also do.
You can, but if you have this particular flower, it certainly imparts to you a very special power.
Rose must be having some other power.
It has a power of love.
Rose has a power.
So, isn't it started then? For some days I kept flowers, but then.
No, it is. These flowers are very important actually in our spiritual life. So, if you have certain flowers and company of certain flowers, they always give you a certain. Like purity flowers, for example, Jui, the jasmine flowers. If you just keep them with you, they will give lot of purity in your being. The very company of these flowers provide you lot of purity. So all these flowers are actually psychological conditions. Animals, they seem to be unintelligent, but actually intelligence in animals sometimes is so great. Just now I gave the example of the nest making capacity of the birds. But like that, there are so many amazing capacities of animals and birds which human beings cannot possess. Although we pride ourselves with our consciousness and we believe that from consciousness point of view we are supreme, it is really not true. What a dog can do, you cannot do. A dog can detect a thief, which even the best policeman cannot do. What is that capacity which the dog possesses? What is the state of consciousness it possesses? What elephant can do, the human being cannot do. What the lion can do, the man cannot do. What the monkey can do, man cannot do. And in the not only physically, but even psychologically, there are certain things which psychologically we cannot do. Like it is said, dolphins, for example, they have a goodwill inherent in them which human beings don't possess. Even though we have goodwill, it is mixed up with evil will. There is rivalry, competition, this, etc. But dolphins are supposed to have a genuine goodwill. They automatically behave in such a way as to protect, to take care, and they rush up to help somebody. This has been found in many experiments regarding dolphins. So many animals possess consciousness which we human beings don't possess. The conclusion is that this force which is acting in the world is not unconscious. We examine all materialistic positions to prove that it is material. And these theories fail. We take the opposite hypothesis and we can show that everything in the world is fundamentally conscious. Therefore, our conclusion is that the force that is working in the world and the being that is behind the force is conscious. Well, this is the end of the chapter number 10, fundamentally.
But what we proved is that the force, that conscious force, can be the womb of the unconscious, or is the womb?
Yes, it can be, because it is said by limitation.
But earlier we said that consciousness is the nature of
everything.
Is the nature of Sat, the pure existence.
Quite true. But it also can, by limitation, the force is capable of two movements, either of remaining manifest or remaining unmanifest. And when it manifests, it can play many kinds of games of complete self-limitation, partial self-limitation, or growing self-limitation. A complete self-limitation is inconscience. Partial self-limitation is ignorance. And a growing self-limitation is ignorance moving towards knowledge. So it can have all kinds of conditions by power of self-limitation.
Is it wrong to say that the mind is the factor in the human being for the self-limitation?
It is not wrong, because mind itself is a power of consciousness.
Is this statement correct?
Namely?
That mind is, in the human being, the mind is the limiting factor of consciousness.
You can say that mind, first of all, let us define mind. In order to make your statement true, you have to say what is mind. You can say mind is a special power of consciousness. Consciousness has originally two powers: of comprehending consciousness and of having simultaneous consciousness of each and every element. Comprehending consciousness means universal consciousness. And another capacity of being conscious of each and every element in that consciousness. It is universal consciousness and it is omniscience. Omniscience means knowledge of each and everything. These are the two original powers of consciousness. These two powers combined together is what is called supermind. Supermind can be defined as an all-comprehensive consciousness which is capable of being conscious of each and every element within itself. Now, when this consciousness decides to limit itself, then it produces what is called apprehending consciousness. Not comprehending, but apprehending. Now, what is apprehending consciousness? Apprehending consciousness is a consciousness that emphasizes one thing against the other. It concentrates upon one more than on the other.
That is exclusive consciousness.
Therefore, exclusive becomes afterwards, but at present is only, it gives more importance to one rather than to the other. It is still conscious of everything, but it gives more importance to one instead of to the other.